Title: Volume Shape Automation on Subtails Intermediate. Alright, let's talk about one of the most underrated make or break details in rolling drum and bass: the subtail. Because in a proper roller, the groove isn't just which notes you play, it's the shape of those notes. If every sub note has the exact same tail, your low end can feel flat, it can blur into the kick, and the rhythm stops feeling like it's breathing. In this lesson, we're going to shape the subtail using volume automation in Ableton Live. Not just changing MIDI note length, but sculpting the actual loudness curve of the tail so the sub stays big and controlled, while the kick and snare still punch through clean. By the end, you'll have a repeatable subtail shaper setup using stock devices, a few go-to envelope shapes, and a workflow that works both for loop writing and for full arrangement changes. Let's build it in a Riedel DNB context first, so everything you do makes sense in a mix. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll mentally aim at 174. Make a simple drum loop. Kick on beat 1. Snare on beats 2 and 4. Keep it basic. Hats are optional. We're focusing on the relationship between kick, snare, and sub. Now create a sub MIDI track. Load operator and keep it simple. Oscillate array on a sine wave. For the amp envelope, set attack to 0. For now, don't stress the exact decay and release, but keep it reasonable. Something like a short release, maybe 50 to 120 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks. We'll shape the tails with volume anyway, so we don't need operator to do all the heavy lifting. Pick a sub note that makes sense for DNB. F, G, or I are common anchors. The main point is, choose something and stick with it while we're learning, so you can hear what the envelope changes are doing. Now we'll build a clean, reusable sub chain. This is important because we want the automation to be predictable. First device, utility, rename it to something like SUB gain env. Leave gain at 0 dB for now. This is going to be our envelope lane. We're not automating the track fader. We're not automating a random synth parameter. We're using utility gain because it's clean, phase safe, and easy to manage. Next, add EQ8. Put a high pass filter around 20 to 30 Hz. You're not trying to thin the sub. You're just removing rumble that eats headroom and muddies the limiter later. If your room has a nasty resonance somewhere like 40 to 80, you can do a very gentle dip, but keep it subtle. Optional, but usually helpful. Add saturator. Keep the drive low, like 1 to 4 dB, and turn soft clip on. The goal is not to distort the sub into a fart. The goal is to add just enough harmonic information so the bass translates on smaller systems. Then put a limiter at the end as a safety. Ceiling at minus 0.3 dB, and don't smash it. This isn't your loudness stage, it's just to catch the occasional spike while you're experimenting. Quick gain staging target, you want the sub channel peaking roughly around minus 10 to minus 6 dB before mastering. Not because it's a magic number, but because it keeps you out of trouble while you sculpt and layer. Now write a classic rolling sub pattern, one bar loop, something like notes on 1.1, 1.2.3, 1.3, and 1.4.3. If that's unfamiliar, just place a note on the downbeat, then a couple of syncopated steps between the snares. And for now, keep the notes separated. Don't do legato overlaps yet. We want to clearly hear where the tail ends. Here's the core technique. Instead of treating the tail like note length, we treat it like volume shape over time. Before you even start drawing automation, I want you to do a quick calibration trick that'll save you from a super common mistake. Loop 1 bar, solo kick and sub only. Temporarily turn any sidechain off if you already had it on. Now listen carefully. Does the kick transient feel covered, or does it feel uncovered? Your job is to shape the sub so the kick transient feels like it has its own space, but the sub still feels continuous and rolling. This is your low-end decision window. Get it feeling right without relying on compression to fix it. Then you can re-enable sidechain later for consistency. Now, we're going to automate utility gain, and we've got two main places to do it: clip envelopes and arrangement automation. We'll start with clip envelopes because it's the fastest way to build groove in a loop. Click your sub MIDI clip. In the clip view, open the envelopes section. Choose device, utility, control, gain. Now you can draw an envelope curve that acts like a mini volume shape inside the bar. Think of each note as having two parts: the front, which tells your ear a note happened, and the tail, which tells your body the groove is rolling. A really solid starting shape is, hit at 0 dB right at the start of the note, then after about 20 to 60 milliseconds, dip a little bit. Not a huge drop, something like minus 1 to minus 3 dB. That tiny dip keeps the initial hit present, but stops the tail from blooming and swallowing the kick space. Then, as you approach the next kick or snare landmark, curve the tail down further. Often you're looking at minus 6 dB down to much lower, depending on how much clearance you need. The point is, the sub can feel like it's flowing, but it shouldn't mask the drum transient. A timing reference at around 174 BPM. A 16th note is roughly 86 milliseconds. So when you're thinking how quickly should I get out of the way, you're often working in that 1/16 to 1/8 window. You don't need to memorize the math. Just remember that in DNB, things happen fast and tiny time moves make a big difference. Now let's talk about dB ranges, because this is where a lot of people go too extreme. If your envelope constantly slams from 0 dB to minus infinity, you're basically chopping the bass like it's a rhythmic gate. That can be cool for techie stuff, but for a rolling sub, a lot of the magic is smaller moves. Microcontrol might be minus 0.5 to minus 2 dB. Groove emphasis is often minus 2 to minus 6. Hard clearance moments are more like minus 8 to minus 12, and you usually don't need full mute unless you want a deliberate dropout. Now, let me give you three copyable tail shapes you can use right away. First shape, punch plus controlled decay. This is the classic roller. Start at 0 dB for the first 0 to 30 milliseconds. Then from about 30 to 120 milliseconds dip to around minus 2 dB. From 120 to 300 milliseconds curve down towards minus 8 dB. And before the next big drum hit, take it down further, maybe minus 15 or even effectively off, but with a tiny fade so it doesn't click. The sound is clean and driving, without flab. Second shape, long tail but ducked. This is great for liquid or steppy vibes. Start at 0 dB for the first 0 to 50 milliseconds, then keep it hovering around minus 1 to minus 3 dB for a while, like 50 to 250 milliseconds, so it feels sustained. After that, slow fade down to around minus 6 to minus 10. The bass feels like it holds the room, but it still respects the drums. Third shape, gated tail. More techie, neuro-ish rhythm. Start at 0 dB for about 0 to 40 milliseconds, then drop fast to around minus 10 dB by 120 milliseconds. Hold it low briefly, then bring it back up a little, like minus 4 dB for a rhythmic puff. Then hard clear it before the snare. Again, if you're hard muting, use a tiny fade so you don't get pops. Now an important coaching point. Make your envelope musical by snapping it to drum landmarks. Turn on your grid. Mentally label where the kick transient is, where the snare transient is, and where the after snare pocket is. That after snare pocket is often where you can let the sub breathe a little more. If you draw automation based on those landmarks, your bass will feel intentional instead of random. Also, don't make every note identical. In DNB, microvariation is groove. Syncopated notes often deserve different tails than the downbeat notes. Even tiny differences make the line feel alive. Now let's bring in arrangement automation. Because clip envelopes are awesome for your default role, but songs evolve. Hit it to show automation lanes. On the sub track, automate utility gain. This is where you tighten tails when the second drop gets busier, or you let them bloom slightly in a break down to drop moment, or you do a hard cut right before a fill to create a sense of impact. A cool arrangement trick in DNB is the snare clarity move. Before the snare on beats 2 and 4, automate the sub tail down harder. Then right after the snare, let it rise slightly or extend. You're basically carving a valley for the snare and then letting the bass re-enter. This makes the snare feel bigger without turning it up. Now, volume shape automation and sidechain are not the same job. Automation is musical phrasing. It's the groove design. Sidechain is consistent clearance. It's the safety system that keeps the drums readable no matter what. So after your utility, add a compressor and sidechain it to the kick. Use a ratio around 2:1 to 4:1. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds so you don't delete the entire subfront. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds and tune it to the groove. Set the threshold so you're getting around 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. And a workflow note, if you want automation to define the note shape and sidechain to finish the job, put utility before the compressor. That's the common approach. If you want to do something more unusual where you duck first and then reshape afterward, you can put utility after the compressor, but that's more of a special effect. Let's cover a few common mistakes so you can avoid pain. First, automating the track fader instead of utility. Don't do it. The fader is your mix balance. Utility is your envelope lane. Second, overducking and overfading at the same time. If you crush the sub with sidechain and also fade the tail aggressively, the low end can disappear. Give each tool a roll. Third, clicks and pops. If you hard mute too fast, you may get clicks. Fix it with a tiny 5 to 15 millisecond fade in the automation curve, or shorten operators release to something that doesn't click, but also doesn't smear. Fourth, mystery wobble from voice behavior. If operator is mono or legato and notes overlap, the amplitude might behave differently depending on retriggering. Decide intentionally. For a clean roller, keep it mono but don't overlap notes. For a glide style, overlap on purpose and keep automation smoother with fewer sharp breakpoints. One more pro-level idea if you want to move fast: dual stage shaping. Put two utilities in a row. One called SUB hit for the first 30 to 80 milliseconds, just tiny moves to balance punch, and one called SUB tail for the longer decay contour. This makes editing way faster because you're not drawing one complicated curve that tries to do everything. Another pro move: keep the true sub mostly stable and make a tail harmonics layer. Duplicate your sub track. On the duplicate, high pass it around 120 to 180 Hz so it's not real sub anymore. Add saturation or overdrive to bring out harmonics. Then automate the tail on that top layer more dramatically. The perceived tail movement increases, but the actual sub energy stays steady and mono. This is huge for translation. And speaking of mono, keep your true sub track mono. If there's any widening anywhere in your bass group, make sure the sub itself is centered. Tail automation can exaggerate phase issues if the low end is stereo. Now let's do a quick practice exercise. Make a 4-bar loop at 174 BPM with your kick and snare, and a repeating sub MIDI pattern. Then create 3 different utility gain envelope versions, one per bar. Bar 1, punch plus controlled decay. Bar 2, long tail but ducked. Bar 3, gated tail. Bar 4, your custom hybrid. A slash B them in two ways. First, solo just kick and sub. Second, listen in a fuller context, even if it's just adding a res or pad. Then bounce it quickly and listen on headphones and a small speaker. This audio version is shortened for playback.